It's time to get on the blunderbuss, where we go on a journey into leadership failure. My name is Edward Vaughan. Join me as I travel far and wide on my special bus, the blunderbuss, and have honest conversations with great leaders about some of their greatest leadership disasters. On the blunderbuss, we think it's possible to learn more from your moments of failure than your moments of success, if you know the magic secret. And we also know that failure can be fun, especially other people's. We'll be hearing about some great boofhead moments where practitioners provide us with the pleasure of hearing about how they did all the dumb things and the leadership lessons they took out of it. As I drive around on the blunderbuss, I'm in the search for the leader who has done more dumb things than I have. Could today be the day when we've found them? Well, today I've driven the blunderbuss all the way to Lewisham in Sydney's inner west, and I'm speaking to Sarah Condy, who was previously the Director of Wellbeing and Care at Church by the Bridge and is now Co-Director of Mental Health and Pastoral Care at Mary Andrews College. Sarah, thanks for getting on the bus today.
Thanks, Ed. It's good to be here.
Good.
A bit
good.
Bumpy, but yeah.
And tell me, Sarah, have you ever done anything wrong?
I've done lots of things wrong.
Really?
Yeah, and it's actually admitting that I've done something wrong. I think it took me a long time to realise that actually if you make a mistake, it's a good opportunity to learn.
Okay. Can you describe a particular moment of leadership failure?
Oh, I can think of lots. I think as a young Christian leader, I used to think that I needed to have all the ideas and have it perfectly worked out what we were going to do without realizing that other people might be able to help me develop whatever my idea was or that if we were running something, we could, being a team, actually would produce something better than me on my own.
Yeah, right. Okay. So something in there about the team leadership role?
Yeah, and learning that actually I might have an idea, but just because I have an idea doesn't mean that's the end of it.
Right.
But actually to make an idea happen is actually listening to other people and their thoughts into what might make that idea work.
Okay. So something about you kind of made you feel, I got to have it all together. Yeah, I got to have it all sorted.
I don't like to admit, but I think I'm a bit of a perfectionist.
Huh.
And so I think I need to have it right and need to have it perfect. And, okay, I'm in my personal life, I'm a sewer. And I love making things.
Yeah.
And often when I've made something, I've learnt from what hasn't worked.
Yeah, yeah,
and
interesting.
And then with friends, I've seen how they've done things.
Yes.
And, oh, actually, if I tried doing that, that would make whatever it is that I'm making be better.
So what I heard you saying there was some of the things that helped you learn was kind of reflection, standing back and looking.
Yeah.
And also bringing other people in to kind of help you.
Yes.
And so the things that you've learnt in your kind of quilting life have kind of helped you a little bit in terms of...
Oh, absolutely. And I think for a long time, I don't think I had that self-reflection. I don't think when something didn't work, I didn't self-reflect or I didn't think, why didn't that work?
Yeah.
And because it didn't work, it was like, okay, I'll just put that away.
Okay.
And...
You describe yourself as a bit of a perfectionist. But what's the problem with that? Because doing things well is like a good thing, isn't it?
Oh, yes, but I think if you set yourself up to do something for the first time and if you think you're going to do it perfectly first time, like whoever makes, like, you know, even going back to being a cook or being, you know, making a cup of coffee, like you're never going to make it perfectly first time. Actually, what makes it perfect is a lot of practicing and tweaking of something to make it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I don't think I had that idea of leading someone or leading a team to think, okay, let's have a play with this and see how it works.
Okay.
And then to go back and look at, well, how could we have done that better?
Yes.
I don't think I – even asking that question is a very freeing question.
Yes,
because
it
is. Because it's like the first time you do something or you try an initiative, it doesn't matter if we fail. Actually, you know, we can learn from what didn't work.
Yes.
And actually, I think when I was at – working at church, I realized I could try things and give it a go, and I felt like there was more freedom to think, well, actually, that didn't work as well as I'd hoped,
yeah.
but that wasn't a failure.
Yeah.
It was like asking the question, how could we have done it better? And me not thinking I had to come up with the answers myself.
Yes. So a couple of things in there. One is that you worked within a culture that was that allowed and permitted, there was permission to fail, and
yes.
you know, because there is learning potentially yes. in that kind of thing. You also kind of alluded to an almost playful attitude to some of these things.
Yes, and I think when you're leading, I think often it's like you have an idea of something, or you've got a vision of something, and you don't necessarily know how you're going to get there.
Yeah.
And I think perhaps as a leader or someone who has ideas, perhaps that's the point where you say, actually, perhaps other people can help me get there.
Yeah.
And that's the best way of getting there.
Yeah.
And thinking that I have to come up with all the steps and the processes to enable us to get to that final picture.
Yeah.
I'm never going to make it on my own.
I feel very resonant with this, actually. Strikes me as very familiar in my own leadership life. I wonder where we get this idea from. Like, having to be the person who's got it all sorted, and, you know, I wonder where that comes from.
I look back and I think maybe from childhood. I don't know.
Just from our families and things,
you know,
like that.
I think I'm hard on myself, and I just think I've had a very strong self-message that if it doesn't work first time, just don't try again.
Right.
And that's actually quite crippling.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a bit, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that going back to me as a sower, like that crippled me for a really long time, because going back to my childhood, I had a mother who was an amazing sewer,
okay.
and she could make anything, and
right.
anything I attempted to make was a complete disaster before.
By comparison.
So I had the habit of just leaving it, and she would finish it for me.
Oh, wow.
Which
prevented you from getting any better, right?
Yeah, and thinking, well, actually, yeah. So I think that affected a lot of areas of my life where I used to think, well, if I can't do it perfectly,
you won't do it.
Well, I won't do it. And you know what? Sometimes you can have ideas for things. And if you are a leader, you might have ideas. And actually, if you give something a go, you actually learn most from what doesn't work.
Yes.
Because you can look at it and think, well, why did... And it's actually asking questions about it.
Yes. Interrogating. My own personal belief is I've learned much more from my leadership failures than I have my leadership successes.
Right.
Because, yeah. you know, when things go well, I don't know, they went well. You don't kind of stop.
Well,
when it's a disaster, you've got to stop. Sure.
You have to stop, and you have to – well, it's being brave enough to ask the question. And I
yes.
think I regret it took me so long to learn that. I wish I'd learned that 20 years ago.
Yeah, right.
And I think perhaps that would have been a very freeing thing.
Freeing for you. I'm getting the impression, Sarah, that, you know, as you've moved through your leadership journey, you've become a much better team leader.
Well, I think I'm not afraid to ask questions and hope or think other people will actually have something of value to say,
right.
which they usually do.
They usually do. And presumably that invites them into the project.
And makes them feel much more involved.
Included, supporting the idea, they're
yes.
participating in this, right?
Yes.
Engaged.
And that they have a different perspective, and the way they see something will often be very different to how I see it.
Right.
Which might be really helpful.
Right. So there's something in this too about appreciating and affirming differences.
Yes.
And having different people on a team.
Yes.
People who have very different skills to the ones that you might have.
Yes.
And that's a good thing.
Yes.
Because the project will be better as a result.
Oh, absolutely. And I know my attention to detail is deeply flawed.
Right.
And having someone else there with me who can say, oh, well, actually, we need to think about these things.
Right.
That's actually really helpful.
Yeah.
Because I don't necessarily think about those things.
And it's the things that we don't see that trip us up, right?
Oh, yes, because yes.
And we don't see them by definition because that's the stuff we don't see.
Yeah, and yes, and I just love, I've actually really enjoyed seeing the impact of letting other people take part,
yeah, yeah.
because they, you know, seeing the delight in them as well.
Yeah. So it sounds like you've become a much better delegator as you've gone on.
Yeah, I think I learned about delegating and how actually empowering that is for everyone.
Wow.
And feeling like actually that helps someone step up and they start doing things.
Yeah.
And you see, oh, actually you give them the opportunity to do something and they actually do it really well.
Yeah.
And they might not do it the same way that you do it, but that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even thinking that my way is the best way.
Yeah.
Or actually it's not even thinking that. I think sometimes you can think it's the only way, but actually it isn't.
There can be many different ways to do something.
Yeah, and I think that's another really freeing opportunity to think, you do it your way, it's really working, and that will bring different ways, different things out that I wouldn't have brought out.
Okay. So, Sarah, we like to ask this question on the Blunderbus. How do you see failure now?
Oh, actually, I quite like failure because I think...
Really?
Well, I think, what can I learn from it? And I think recently I have blundered, but you know what? I think, you know what? I've learned some really painful things and it's almost humiliating, but I think, well, actually, it's made me realise that I have lots to learn still, you know, even if I think I'm a leader or I've been given the privilege and opportunity to lead things, I can still learn and that,
But that requires an enormous humility, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And it can be quite crushing because I think you think, oh, I should have it all.
Right. By now, I should have it all sorted, whatever. And yet.
I'd like to say I haven't.
There are still things to learn.
It's a very bumpy ride. It's, this blunderbuss. But, you know, it's pretty freeing.
Yeah. Thanks, Sarah. We want to thank Sarah Condy for sharing about some of her great leadership mistakes and what she's learnt. At the St. Michael's Institute, our promise to you is that we can help you do more dumb things because we can help you take more risks and learn from what you're doing. Our motto is, if something is worth doing, it's worth doing dumbly, because if you're having a crack, it won't be perfect. Go to our website at www.stmichaels.institute, where we teach you how to fail better. Thanks, Sarah, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, Ed.